Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom aleikum, assalamu aleikum, namaste, pak sadnam, sat sri akal, tashi dalek, ho lila tanyan, wasayake. Hello, may everything be well with you as it is with me. We will be continuing on today, this beautiful, beautiful, somewhat overcast day here in the Pacific Northwest. As you know, I broadcast out of my den at my home in Issaquah, Washington. So I guess you could call me Reb. In the tradition of old, you could call me Reb Yanyo of Issaquah. And I say that with a sense of humor, tongue-in-cheek, believe me. In any event, it's a beautiful day outside. The birds have been coming up to my patio, and the Steller's jays have been hauling off peanuts like crazy, and the sparrows have been getting seed off the deck, and the chickadees have been eating out of the seed cake in a hanging feeder, and it's just a wonderful thing. And in fact, we've got about four or five squirrels too that are vying for this food. So I feel good about taking care of the animals, and it's one of the many mitzvot that we are given in the first five books of the Torah, is to take care of, to be good stewards to this world, and to take care of the animals that were brought before Adam in Genesis in the garden, and which he named. So anyway, I hope you're having as good a day as I'm having, and I'm excited about today's teaching, as we'll be continuing on in teaching about the transformation of the righteous man named Enoch into the angel Metatron. We're going to go into much more detail about that today. And before we get started on that, however, I will do as I do every day before class, at the beginning of each class, and we will pay our respects by honoring the dead, and I'll recite the Kaddish for the dead and the mourners of the dead. So please close your eyes as you listen and remember someone to whom you were close who has passed away. In doing so, you'll honor that person's life and bless his or her memory with a life of your own, with the light, and that's a wonderful Freudian slip, because light is life. So by bringing a person's memory into your consciousness, you will honor that person's life and bless his or her memory with both the light and life of your own consciousness. Amen. Baruch Hashem. Iskadal v'ishkadash meirbo, bomo divero kirase, v'yamlik malkase, b'kayev kon, uvyo makon, uvkaya dekol beis Yisrael, ba'agalo uvizman karyev, v'yimru amen. Yehesh meirbo mevorak, le'olam ule olme omayo, yisbarak v'yistabak, v'yisbarar v'yisramam, v'yisnase v'yishadar v'yisale v'yishalal, Shmei du kacho beraku le'elo minkol berkaso v'shiroso tush bikoso v'nekamoso da'amiron be'omo v'yimru omen. Yehe shlomo rabo min shamayo v'kayim aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael v'yimru omen. Ose shalom bimramov huyashe shalom aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael v'yimru omen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now, check our recording levels, make sure that everything is okay, high enough yet not maxing everything out. Looks good. All right. Now then, we established in our last class that Enoch, the patriarch of the seventh generation of the righteous on earth, was lifted up to heaven and joined in a divine transformation to a pre-existing angel, to form a third angelic being. Not that there would be three separate beings, but that there would be two beings, a pre-existing angel and a righteous man, who would join together, resulting in one divine being superior to either of the first two, either the pre-existing angel or the righteous man. And we said that this new angelic being has the name Metatron. Metatron. All right. Now, I'm going to go into a little bit more detail today and talk about this process of divine transformation. And I will read to you now from 3 Enoch, chapter 7. This is one of the books of Enoch, and of course we won't get to discussing those books of Enoch until tomorrow, because it's important that I give you this additional detail regarding the process of transformation. We're literally talking about the process of a man fusing with or joining to the soul of a man, of a righteous man, not just any righteous man, but the most righteous person on the earth at this time, at this very important time in the dream that God is dreaming about his own redemption and about the peoples of the earth. Okay? The joining of a human soul to an aspect of the divine consciousness. Okay? So, from this book, 3 Enoch, chapter 7, if you're interested, it's edited by Oda Berg. And you'll probably, I don't know where you can find that. I still have not, haven't looked extremely hard for it yet, but have not seen it easily. I'm sure it's available in some form. Here's the quote. God took me from the midst of the race of the flood and carried me on the stormy wings of the Shekinah to the highest heaven and brought me into the great palaces on the heights of the seventh heaven, Erebuth, where there are the throne of the Shekinah and the Merkabah, the legions of anger and hosts of wrath, the Shinanim of the fire, the cherubim of the flaming torches, the ophanim of the fiery coals, the servants of the flames, and the seraphim of the lightning. And he stood me there daily to serve the throne of glory. Now who is this that's speaking, that says, God took me from the midst of the race of the flood and carried me on the stormy wings of the Shekinah to the highest heaven, because there are seven heavens, right? And brought me into the great palaces on the heights of the seventh heaven called Erebuth, or Erebot. Okay, and in this heaven, this is where one finds the throne of the Shekinah. The Shekinah, remember, is the feminine form of God, but it's also God's indwelling presence with mankind. So we find there, in this palace, the throne of the Shekinah, God's indwelling presence, and the Merkabah. Remember what the Merkabah is? The Merkabah is the chariot, the chariot that was given in the form of a vision to Ezekiel. All right. Also here are the legions of anger and hosts of wrath. Well, these are the things that all the way from Ezekiel up through Isaiah, and Jeremiah and Malachi and Zechariah, all of the prophets talk about in terms of apocalypse, in terms of divine punishment, divine retribution. Not going to get into the principle itself, the concept itself of retribution and its theosophical meanings. But all of the prophets talk about retribution. And they talk about it in terms of God unleashing upon the stiff-necked people of Israel the legions of anger and the hosts of wrath. Okay, so we find those legions of anger and those hosts of wrath here in the great palace where the throne of God's indwelling presence and the holy chariot that carries that throne are located. we also see here that there is also the shinanim of the fire, and I have not looked up that word. That's going to refer to a type. That's going to be a type of angel. So we can say the angels of fire, the cherubim, the angels of the flaming torches, the ofanim. That's the angels of the wheels on the chariot that Ezekiel saw, and says the ofanim of the fiery coals. Those are angels. The servants of the flame and the seraphim, more of the lightning. This is again in Ezekiel's chariot, and also in the book Sefer HaYetzirah, the book of formation, talks about lightning running to and fro, up and down from the top to the bottom. Okay, that's what the seraphim are, the messengers, messenger angels. And he, capital H, he, this is a reference to the Holy One, blessed be he, stood me there daily to serve the throne of glory. Amen. Baruch Hashem. Who this is speaking is Enoch, become Metatron. Excuse me. Still have a little bit of this upper respiratory virus, or the symptoms of it. I can't quite get rid of it. And boy, I've been hearing from everybody where my wife works that it just keeps coming back on people. So I have to be careful here. So this is a statement taken from the book of Enoch, the third version. We'll get into the versions on Monday. Okay, in which Enoch himself speaks to the reader, to us, the listener. He speaks to us, and he says, God took me from the midst of the race of the flood. See the link here between the link between him, which he was the, as we said just a moment ago, he was the patriarch of the seventh generation of the righteous on the earth. Well, yet he says here, God took me from the midst of the race of the flood. That would be what? That would be the 10th generation, right? That's three generations hence from when God lifted him up. So how could he say he took me from the midst of the race of the flood? Because this is a reference to the fact that Torah teaches us that he lived only 365 years. Do you remember this? And we talked about how that's significant in terms of his perfection. He lived 365 solar years. Solar referring to the sun, to the mirror that shines, the sun, and the mirror that doesn't shine, the moon. Okay, the union of those two things. Okay, the moon that shines, the sun, is a symbol associated with Tiferet, the sixth Sephira on the tree of life. That's Chaim, the diagram, remember, of the ten holy Sephirot. Okay, that represents the God of Israel. In fact, it's the full name is not just Tiferet, it's Tiferet Yisrael, beauty of Israel. That's the sun. The symbol of that is the sun. Okay, and and the moon is the symbol of the feminine, counterpart to the sun. That's what the moon is, right? And it doesn't shine. It reflects only the glory of the sun. Okay? Where on the Sephirotic tree do you suppose that you're going to find the symbol for the moon? Well, two places actually, but the one we're talking about today is in the center column, and it's below Tiferet, it's below Yesod, which is also named Tzadik, the righteous one, who unites Malkut, kingdom, which is below Yesod. You see this pattern here? Okay, the righteous man, Yesod, Tzadik, which is the name foundation, but the other name for which is Tzadik, so I'm going to say Tzadik, the ninth Sephira, unites in holy matrimony, holy wedding, and brings about the sexual and spiritual union of the king and queen, of the sun and moon, of Tiferet, the Holy One, blessed be He, the God of Israel, and Malkut, who is the fallen bride, the name of which is Shekinah. And it is through the righteous man that this union takes place. And it is only through the righteous man, it doesn't have to be male, I don't mean male here, but the righteous person, that this union can take place through the righteous person. All right. So this is what's being talked about here. And he lived Enoch lived 365 years. The solar year is 365 days. So he's a perfect square. He's 365 days squared. Okay? 365 days is a year, and it occurs 365 times in his life. He did not live because he was perfected at that time. He did not live as long as the other patriarchs. Remember, we taught that they were all living between 700 and 900 years at the time. And here's Enoch, this great patriarch, whose life is minuscule, about a third, as long as all of the other people around him. So what we're talking about today is the reasoning behind this, is the mystical reasons for this. Okay? So he's telling the truth when he says, God took me from the midst of the race of the flood, the tenth generation, and carried me up on the stormy wings of the Shekinah. What's he doing? The Shekinah is carrying him up, but it also means that the Tzaddik, the righteous one, is accompanying the Shekinah. To where? Up to the throne room, where the Merkabah is. The Merkabah is where the throne of the Blessed Holy One is. And what do you suppose that's for? It's what the function, as I just said, the function in the Sephirotic tree of the ninth Sephira, which is Tzaddik, the righteous person or man, is to unite and bring about the Hieros Gamos, the holy wedding, between the male and the female aspects of God. And so he's like the best man. He brings her up the path of Ketim, Keter. This is the vertical center path. At the top is Keter, then there's Tiferet, then there's Isod or Tzaddik, and then there's Malkut or Shekinah. Okay, that's his function. And so he does not live to see the flood, which occurs in the 10th generation, but he's taken from the midst of those who are alive already in the seventh generation, who will still be alive in the tenth generation. So he's literally telling us the truth, telling us the literal truth. God took me from the midst of the race of the flood, the tenth generation. They were there during his time, and still there in the time of his great-grandson Noah when the deluge came. All right, now, so he's lifted up to heaven, and then we read this from the same book, 3 Enoch, but instead of chapter 7, it's in chapter 15, we read this. This Enoch, whose flesh was turned to flame, his veins to fire, his eyelashes to flashes of lightning, his eyeballs to flaming torches, and whom God placed on a throne next to the throne of glory, received after this heavenly transformation the name Metatron. Okay, this is when the name Metatron comes into being. This is when the angel Metatron comes into being. He did not exist prior to his fusion, to his existence as a result of the fusion of a pre-existing angel and the righteous Tzaddik, the Enoch. Remember, in our last class, we referred to this teaching from Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 and 21. Quoting from there, we read, chapter 20, I am sending an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place which I have made ready. Pay heed to him and obey him. Do not defy him, for he will not pardon your offenses, since my name is in him. Okay, who's talking here? This is Yahweh. This is the Holy One, blessed be He, the Blessed Holy One, HaKodesh, Baruch Hu, speaking to whom? To the people of Israel, just before, just after the giving of the commandments, but just prior to when Moshe, our blessed teacher, prophet, leader, Moshe, before he goes up for the 40 days to have the commandments chiseled out on the tablets. Okay, so this is God speaking to the people of Israel. And he says, I am sending an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place which I have made ready. And then he gives this admonition to the people of Israel. He says, pay heed to him and obey him. Do not defy him. Boy, three times God is saying to the stiff-necked people who don't seem to have very good listening skills, listen to him, obey him, don't defy him, for he will not pardon your offenses, since my name is in him. Now, does this mean that this is God going before them? Absolutely not. It could not be more clear than what is stated here. I'm sending you an angel. An angel is not God. It is a creation of God, just like man and the earth and all the animals and plants are creations of God. It exists in the upper world, yes. It exists in the world of angels. All angels exist in the world of angels, which is Olam Yetzirah. And other angels exist in the throne world. The higher angels exist in the throne world. This is the world which we just got done speaking about, to which Enoch was lifted up. And we talked about some of those angels who are there. Okay, so he's saying, I'm sending an angel before you to guard you. Okay, this guardian angel of Israel, this angelic guide through the wilderness, is Metatron. And we cited in our last class the writings of Rabbi Abraham Abulafia, stating that the gematria of God's name, Shaddai, is 315. Remember, if you take the Hebrew letters of Shaddai, they come to 315. This is the mystical equivalent of the name Metatron, which is 314 with one added to it. You can always add one to any word in one of the techniques of gematria because the one stands for God, Echad, also Aleph. Okay, so but still, Aleph is one. Okay, or I should say, God is one. Aleph is one. One is one. So one and 314 is 315. 315, since it's composed of 314 plus 1, is Shaddai. It's the same number. They're numerically equivalent. Therefore, that satisfies the statement of that I just read to you in Exodus chapter 23, verse 21, that says, my name is in him. Shaddai is in Metatron. It's just different letters adding up to the same number. So the statement of the Holy One, blessed be He, is satisfied. My name is in Him. Okay, but, and here's the new information that I didn't have time to get to. Yes, Monday. But here it is. We also find that the name Yahoel, or Yoel, is the first on a list of the 70 names of Metatron that are given in 3 Enoch, one of the books of Enoch, that are extant still today. There's 3 versions of the book. I'll get into those on Monday. But in 3 Enoch, all the more you need to know is in 3 Enoch, there's a list. It's called the 70 names of Metatron. And the first name given is Yahoel, or Yoel. Okay? Also, in the 10th chapter of another ancient manuscript called the Apocalypse of Abraham, we read this, quote, I am called Yahoel, a power in virtue of the ineffable name that is dwelling in me. So here we are again with a reference to the to Exodus chapter 23, verse 21, in which it says, heed him, do not defy him, for he will not pardon your offenses, since my name is in him. He is not God, but God's name is in him. And it's saying here in the 10th chapter of the Apocalypse of Abraham, it's saying, I am called Yahoel, a power in virtue of the ineffable name that is dwelling in me. So let's look at that name, Yahoel. Yahoel is actually a conflation of two words. Yaho, which is one of the names of God, Yah, with a verb, O, on it, okay, and with a vowel on it, a linking vowel, and L, which is a shortened form of Elohim. So it's the putting together of two words, Yaho and El. It's very similar to Yahweh Elohim, only here it's Yaho El, Yahweh Elohim, Yaho El. Now, Yaho is an abbreviation of the Tetragrammaton. Remember, the Tetragrammaton is the ineffable name of God, which is four consonants which have no real, there's no known pronunciation. Only the Kohen Gadol, the high priest in the temple, knew the pronunciation, the secret pronunciation of that name. And it was so powerful that when he entered the Holy of Holies, they tied a rope around his ankle so that if when he was in performing his periodic services in which he had to pronounce the Tetragrammaton, Yod, He, Vov, He, or the four consonants, Yod, He, Vov, He, when he pronounced it in its secret, holy, proper way, it was so powerful. And God was obviously there, that it was entirely possible that the energy released, the holy sacred energy that was released at that moment, would kill the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. And so since no one could go in there but the Kohen Gadol and survive, and not to mention which it would be a desecration of the corruption of the sanctity of the Holy of Holies. So for those two reasons, no other priests could go in there. They tied a rope around his ankle so that if he were killed, if he never came out, and presumably there would be, you know, some sort of noise and flash of incredible light, so they'd know this, they would pull the rope which was attached to his ankle, and drag him out. Okay, this is the name, the ineffable name of God, the four-consonant name of God, Yod, He, Vov, He. Okay, now, what I'm saying here, and what it's saying, not what I'm saying, but what it's saying in the 10th chapter of the Apocalypse of Abraham, is it's the angel Yahoel speaking, and he says, I am called Yahoel, a power in virtue of the ineffable name that is dwelling in me. So he's saying right there, the ineffable name, that's the Tetragrammaton, Yod He Vov He, is dwelling in me. So we look at it and we see that Yaho indeed is an abbreviation of the Tetragrammaton. Yaho, let's look at it. Let's look at that name and see how that is. What is it made up of in terms of the Hebrew letters? It's made up of a Yod, a He, and a Vov, used as a vowel. Yod, He, Vov. There's only one letter missing to complete the ineffable name. The ineffable name is, three-fourths of the ineffable name is in Yahoh. And it's not complete, is it? Yod is 10, He is 5, Vov is 6. That adds up to 21. What's missing is the ending, the second, hey, the second hay. That's the aspirant that represents the breath that God breathed into Adam's nostril. Hey, hey. That's the breath. The breath, the ruach, that God blew into Adam's nostril, making him Chaya, a living being with a divine soul. Okay? So that's what's missing in Yahweh's name. That's why it is that it's not just Yahweh alone. In order to be an angel of God, it has to have the last part hooked to it, El. Yod, He, Vov, Yahweh, El. Yahweh, El. Has to borrow from another aspect of God to make it complete. Okay, to make it complete in terms of the shortest possible way would be to make it a complete image of a perfected form. In order to perfect it, let's put it that way, in order to complete and perfect it, we have already what's needed. It's the additional hay, right? We have the yod, 10, hay, 5, vov, 6. These are the gematriac values. And that adds to 21, and the total for the tetragrammaton is 26. 5 is missing. What's missing is the hay on the end. So it's missing that hay. So we need an additional hay. Where do we get that additional hay? Well, 5 is the number of perfected man. The perfect man. The tzaddik. That's his number. It's 5. The perfected man is who? It's God in a man who follows the path of righteousness in the middle column of Ketim. Remember, Ketim is are the excuse me, are the Hebrew first letters of Keter at the top of the middle column of the Sephirotic tree, the column that harmonizes and synthesizes the opposites on the left and the right columns. Ketim, Keter at the top. Teferet in the sixth position, 1 and 6. And Isod, okay, which starts with a Yod. And then Malkut starts with an M. Okay, so this is why it's Ketim. Okay, and Yod is often used to represent the eye, so that's how we get Ketim. Okay, Keter, Teferet, Yod, Malkut. Okay, and the perfected man is the man who walks that center path, who ascends the center path from Malkut up to Yesod, up to Teferet, up to Keter, uniting the opposites on each side of him or her. This is the man who has the image of God impressed upon his heart as a seal. Okay? We can say that this man is four square. He's a squared away person. This, the very saying that we see in nautical terms, like in the U.S. Navy and other navies, is referring to the sailor who has everything in order. Everything's perfect. His locker's perfect. His gun is perfectly clean and ready to operate. We say he has everything squared away. And he's a squared away. He's four square. We even hear in terms of the Christian fundamentalists, there's a denomination called the Four Square Gospel. It refers to the four corners of the world being a square. The greatest thing, that the closest thing to perfection of God is represented symbolically as a circle, because it's eternal, right? And there is no beginning and there's no end. And the closest thing that you can achieve in this world to that is the square. Okay, the circle squared. That phrase, remember? Okay, so that's 4 is the numerical value of the square. That's the man. And God, the numerical value is 1. 1. The stamp of God on the heart of a four-square man equals 5, which is the holy breath. Hey, you see where I'm headed with this? So, God alone was incomplete. There's a process here. God alone was incomplete. God's angel, his first angel, Yahoh, was incomplete and had to have El added to his name. Yahoh's 21 is incomplete. God required an additional element to be added for completion. And what was that? It was the righteous man, Heh, the number 5. And that man was Enoch. Because Enoch was what? What is the word for righteous man or righteous one? It's in Hebrew, it's Tzaddik. And what's the name of the name of the Sephira that is in between and unites Tiferet, the Holy One, blessed be He, above, who sits on the throne above, with the Shekinah, Malkut, which is God's presence in the world below? What brings about that union, that unification? What fructifies that relationship? What inseminates that relationship, so to speak, causing it to flower and bear fruit? That is the Tzaddik, the righteous one. So man is needed to complete God. Man, listen to what I'm saying. Man, a special kind of man, and I'm taking this universally, human being, okay? When I say man, I'm talking about mankind, okay? I'm talking about the righteous one, non-sexually, both sexes, okay? And actually, a righteous person is going to have already unified the male and the female in his or herself and be androgynous in nature. Neither entirely male nor entirely female. Okay? It's going to be the righteous one. It is the righteous one, Esod, also known as Tzaddik, that unifies the fallen bride, God's Shekinah, his divine presence in this world, with God above, the Holy One, blessed be He, okay? By lifting her up from the dust and the ashes of this world, cleaning her off and accompanying her, leading her up the ladder, up the center rungs of the ladder, Baruch Hashem, and introducing her under the wedding canopy to her groom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that Beharis Gamos, the sacred wedding, can take place. Amen, v'amen. So, what am I getting here? What has this got to do with Enoch? Well, it's got everything to do with Enoch. Because this is a divine stage play working out on the stage of the world. This is a divine reconciliation taking place, an attempt at reconciliation taking place within the mind of God, between the warring halves of God's psyche, between the dark, restrictive sides of the left and the light, expansive, loving sides of the right. They're all being brought together and harmonized, synthesized, to make a new third being. You have a thesis, an antithesis, and a synthesis. A new harmony, a new equilibrium being created. And it takes a tzaddik, a righteous person, to do it. And who's the tzaddik of the time? It's the righteous perfected man. We said that 365 times 365 days, that's the age of Enoch. He was the perfect man, the perfected human being who walked with God. Remember what it says in Genesis, is it 5, 4, or 5, 6? And He walked with God. He was perfected. He lived to be 365 solar years in age. That's 365 squared, the number 4. He's a square. He has 4 sides to him. He's as close to perfection as a human being can come in this world. And now he has no further purpose on this earth. He was, in fact, created, born to fulfill this divine mission. This divine mission was his avodah, his calling. He was born to be raised up and to be fused to Yahweh. Okay? And the divine metamorphosis takes place in the upper world, in the presence of the Holy Blessed One, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the throne room, and the world of the throne, Olam Berea. Okay? And what is this transformation? How does it work? Let's look at it like chemicals, right? The angel Yahweh, who's the first angel of God, the Prince of Countenances, Sar HaPanim, because he alone gets to look upon the face of God, of all the angels. But yet he was not complete. Up comes the Tzaddik Enoch, who has unified within himself the male and the female principles. The principles of upper and lower, the principles of light and dark, the principles of good and evil, who is unified in himself, the Shekinah, God's presence, indwelling presence. He comes up and is joined together in sacred devakut, or cleaving, which is spiritual unification with this angel, Yahweh. And both of those beings combine to create a single new being. And that being is named Metatron, and still has the name of God in his name, because Metatron, which has a gematria of 15, is the same as the gematria, 315, is the same as the gematria of Shaddai, 314 plus 1, the number of God. And who is that? So we have the angel Yahweh, the first angel of God, who's incomplete, joined, fused with the holy man, the Tzaddik, Enoch, to produce the third divine being, which is more divine, more powerful than either of the first two, which is greater than the sum of its parts, and that is the angel Metatron, who is the scribe of God and the guardian angel of Israel. And I will be finishing this up rapidly here. I will now just talk about what we know about Metatron. And just to summarize quickly, Metatron is the resulting third being, or the synthesis of the angel Yahweh and the Tzaddik Enoch. According to the Talmud, Metatron transmits the daily orders of God to the angels Gabriel and Samael. So you can see he's higher. He's of a higher order and position than the angels Gabriel and Samael. Metatron is often identified, these are just some facts, okay, that I'm going to lay out there for you. Metatron is often identified by in Kabbalah as being the twin brother to Sandalphon, who is said to have been the prophet Elijah. Now, this is interesting. Metatron is said to have been partly the Tzaddik Enoch. The other angel, his twin brother, Sandalphon, is said to have been the prophet Elijah. So what this is saying to us is that Elijah too was lifted up, and that he too was joined together with the angel Sandalphon, who became Sandalphon. I don't know what his name prior to Sandalphon was, but after Elijah was joined with him, he became sandal thong. Metatron, another fact. So there's a certain correspondence here, a certain symmetry. Metatron, who is the scribe of God, is the only personage allowed to sit in the presence of God. All other angels, and remember, these are only the archangels that we're talking about. These are the angels who are in the world of the throne, which is Olam Berea. So these are the archangels. And among all the archangels, all are required to stand except for Metatron. This is because he was the official scribe to God. He wrote down all the activities of man. He recorded all the activities of man, and he wrote down all of the orders of God given daily and transmitted through him to the angels Gabriel and Samael. Okay? And it was Metatron that this person that the rabbis now call Aher, I apologize for not having retrieved for you the exact name of this first century Common Era great rabbi. It was Metatron that Aher saw sitting. The fact that he was sitting on a throne next to the throne of the Holy One, blessed be He, caused him to erroneously conclude that there are two powers in heaven. And this is a Gnostic heresy. Okay, because as Jews, we believe that God is one. Two more facts, and that'll conclude today's teaching. First, Metatron is referred to as Sar HaPanim. You might have heard me mention that earlier. It means literally, Sar means prince, HaPanim means of the countenance. Since he is the only one of the seven archangels permitted to enter into or behind the curtain that separates the king from the throne. And final fact for you here is Metatron is referred to as Sar HaShemad. I mentioned this yesterday, prince of names, who speaks with the authority of the name. What name is that? It is the name within him. And the name within him is Yod He Vov He, because he has now been perfected with the addition, with the unification with the fusion of Isod or Tzaddik, Enoch, and the Holy One, not the Holy One, blessed be He, but the Shekinah, and then the subsequent union of that combination with Tiferet. And Tiferet's name, by the way, name of God associated with Sephira Tiferet, is Yod Heh Vov Heh. So we're talking about the unification of a divine order here. All right, that's all that I've got for today, and I promise you on Monday, the same time, same place, we will talk to you and teach to you some more about the Book of Enoch, to which we have been referring in the last few sessions. In the meantime, we have recorded this live teaching, and it'll be available on our website later this evening on the page. Up on the navigation bar, you can find it under, I believe it's under Audio Archives. And so you can go there and you can download it as an MP3 file and save it to your hard disk, listen to it, share it with your friends, whatever. The more they hear this, the better, as far as I'm concerned. And or you can listen to it as it's rebroadcast tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern in the same room at 10 p.m. Eastern. In the meantime, we will also have on Friday, I want you to come, invited to come to our bi-monthly celebration of Shabbat, and come to my Shabbos table, where we will celebrate the coming of Shabbat and welcome in the Sabbath Queen, the Shekinah. And that's on Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern as well. In the meantime, between now and then, don't forget to remember God at least twice each day until we meet Again, may you go from strength to strength, and be well. Zygesund.